Have you ever tried to help somebody, but as you're helping them, you're wondering to yourself, am I really helping them? Or is this just some kind of temporary fix to a deeper problem? Am I helping them, or am I really just enabling them? I'm sure that at times we've all felt that way. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to help them. We do need to be aware of the situation, not just blindly going in and enable someone to keep on living carelessly or wastefully. Paul told the churches to give assistance only to those widows who really were in need and they didn't have any other resource to meet their needs. Today, as we continue our series in Acts, we're going to finish up chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn there. We're going to look at verses 32 through 43 about a need-meeting God. God knows exactly how to meet our needs. He knows what we will need and when we'll need it. He knows when we need to learn to be better stewards and to eliminate the wastefulness in our lives. He knows how to feed us for a lifetime and not just for a single meal. He teaches us to take responsibility for our own lives. While we always need God and we need others, He moves us of a place of making others responsible for our well-being to where we are good stewards. Things that He's put us in charge of, the things that He has put in our care. So He knows exactly what we need, and He will help to provide for us, even when we don't know where our needs are going to come from. Here's the central theme of the message today. God wants to reveal Himself to people by meeting the needs in their lives. So in what kind of ways does God do that? Well, if you would stand, we'll read through our scripture, and then we'll dig in a little bit deeper. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 32. It says, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and all the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for all the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of His holy word. This morning, I'd like for us to look at three ways in which God meets our needs in order to bring us closer to Him. And the very first thing is that the good news about Jesus, it can meet physical needs. Here's the good news. Jesus can and will heal people who are sick. And through His followers, that would be us, through His followers, He helps take care of those who are in need of material provisions. Tabitha, She ministered to the poor around her. Jesus was touching lives through her life. So let's talk about how Jesus meets physical needs through healing. Aeneas, he had been confined to a bed for 8 years. We don't know what had happened to him, whether it was some kind of accident or maybe a debilitating disease. All we know is that he was paralyzed and that he had to lay on a mat. It's very possible that every day people carried him out to the market so that he could simply sit there or lay there and beg for a living. Scripture doesn't tell us that. It doesn't say anything else about him. All it says is that he was paralyzed and that he was bedridden. And Peter found him. Now, it is amazing who you might find when you are looking for needs to meet. I fully believe that God, through the Holy Spirit, led Peter to Aeneas. The only reason that Peter found Aeneas was because the Lord had already found him. And so he led Peter to him. When Peter saw the man's condition, he said something very interesting to him. He said, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you." Notice how careful Peter was to give credit to the one who actually did all the healing, and that was God. Back in Acts chapter 3, after Peter and John prayed for the man who was crippled, the crippled beggar, Peter said, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given the complete healing to this man." As you can all see. See, Peter, he did not want any of the glory for himself. He knew that it all belonged to Jesus. However, Peter also knew that the power of God was available to him to use as he went about sharing the gospel. God wants to meet people's needs by healing them with his mighty power. We also see that God meets people's needs by providing food, clothing for them. He uses people to accomplish all of this. Look at the life of Tabitha. She's there in Joppa. She is making clothing. She is doing good and helping the poor. She had made all these robes and other clothing for the people who were in need. Tabitha, she was a woman whom God had used to help meet the needs of the people around her. Luke refers to her as a disciple, as a student, a follower of Jesus. You see, sometimes there is no better way to show God's love than to meet someone's needs. Will you be taken advantage of? Yeah, somewhere along the line, you might be. Tabitha probably was. Jesus, he certainly was. But does that mean we shouldn't try? Does it do any good when we're out there helping people? Well, according to the Bible, it does. In fact, the Bible says an awful lot about helping the needs of the poor. When we as a church, when we do it the way that God wants us to, people will be drawn to him because they will be able to see his love in action. We are his hands. We are his feet. The application is clear. We need to let God meet people's physical needs. If they're sick, then we need to pray for them and tell them that Jesus can heal them. If they're lacking in daily needs and in food or clothing or shelter, then we should reach out and we should help them whenever it is within our power. And if we lack wisdom to know how to go about doing that, then we should ask God to give us that wisdom, to give us that discernment, Because it is His idea to meet people's needs. But do you realize that in addition to meeting people's physical needs, God also wants to do something else? Because the good news about Jesus, it can restore people's lives. The restoration of life sometimes happens to those who are physically dead. But it also happens to those who are spiritually dead. Here's the good news. Jesus has power over death, and He can raise and resurrect and restore life. That doesn't get you excited, nothing will. Jesus, He also has power over sin. He can give life to those who are spiritually dead. Sin, it separates us from God, and it causes pain, it causes death in our lives. But Jesus, He came to save people from their sins. That really is what the restoration of life is all about. If this body is given an extension of time on this earth, then that is great. But there's so much more to our lives than just the physical aspect that you can see here. Unless we are made spiritually alive, we cannot have a relationship with God, because God is spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus in that conversation in the middle of the night in John chapter 3, He said, unless a person was given spiritual life, basically Jesus said, unless someone is born again, then they will not be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But what did Jesus mean by that? Well, everybody here, if you look around, everybody here has been born once, at least. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Make sense? But to be born a second time, that means that your spirit comes alive to God. No longer are we dead to God and what He wants in our lives. But He begins to live in us, and we begin to live for Him. The Bible tells us that the devil came to destroy life, but that Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Unfortunately, there are many, many people who have been deceived into thinking that the devil's way of doing things is the better way of doing it. There are others who think that they have come up with a third alternative. She's okay, Josh. And that is not to do it God's way and not to do it the devil's way, but to do it their own way. Which may sound all good, but you see, there really is no middle ground. Either you are doing it God's way or you are not. The devil likes to trap us. His schemes, his deceitfulness is always out there. You realize that no matter how strong you think you are no match for the devil, at least not by yourself. Again, the good news is that Jesus, He can restore life. He can restore life to those who are physically dead, and He can restore life to those who are spiritually dead. And someday, we will be with Him forever, and things will finally be the way that they were all meant to be, at least for those who let Jesus give them life. But let's look at the bigger picture for a moment here. See what God wants to do in us and through us. Because the good news about Jesus, it can change an entire city. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw Him and turned to the Lord. Here's the good news. Jesus changes people one life at a time. Look at me. I didn't mean it like that. When Jesus' love and power is demonstrated through His church, entire communities can turn to Him. Do you have enough faith to believe God for this? Lord, help our unbelief. Help our unbelieving hearts to change so that we will be in harmony with your loving heart, so that we can see people the way that you see them. If we believe, I mean truly believe, that it is possible for the good news about Jesus to change an entire city, then we have to ask the question, why not our city? Why not Portland? Why not Vancouver? Why not Gresham? Why not Seoul, Korea? Why not anywhere in the world? You understand that there are a lot of churches here in the Portland area. But you see, that's not really the point. The point is this. What impact is the good news having on our cities? What impact is the good news having in our neighborhoods? What is this impact? And what is the impact that the good news is having about forgiveness with our young children who are up in children's church, with our teens or our young families, with our middle-aged families? How about with our senior citizens? If the good news really is as powerful as the Bible claims and as powerful as was demonstrated some 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts, then why are we not seeing more lives being changed around us here? And that prompts even more questions. Are people hearing the good news about Jesus? Now, it's difficult to know for sure. However, if there was someone, and they never ever attended church, they never watched a Christian television show or listened to the Christian radio, they have no Christian family members, they never hang out with other Christians, then who is going to share the good news with them? See, they're not likely to hear about Jesus. Now, maybe you're wondering, are there people like that? Well, I'm sure there are probably more out there than we would like to think there are. So how are we going to get the good news out to people who live in a world that is totally different than the one that we live in, where we live? Well, we're going to have to go to them. We're going to have to make a big enough splash in their world so that they will see how awesome Jesus is. I might venture into another question based on that one. If people are hearing the good news about Jesus, is it really newsworthy to them? If they aren't interested in Jesus, then why not? If it really is as good as we all believe it is, then why wouldn't everybody want to hear? Why wouldn't they want to receive this offer that Jesus has to give to them? Now, I realize that there are a lot of answers, and you can go a lot of different ways with this. But let me just say that it matters how we present the good news. There is a reason that the word news contains the word new. When we read or watch the news, we expect to encounter some fresh report of what is happening in our world. Old news is actually an oxymoron. In our world today, there's two things that really, I'll say it this way, two things that really concern me. One is the volcano, Taal, that's erupting in the Philippines. The other one is this outbreak of the coronavirus. And when I want to find out about that, I go to my television, I speak into my little remote. The remotes are awesome. You can speak into the remote and I can say, coronavirus on YouTube. And all of a sudden my television switches to YouTube and I can see coronavirus. And on the very bottom, I look for the things that have happened within the past several hours. Same thing with Taal, the volcano that is erupting. I can't say Taal because it goes all over the place. But I can say in there, Philippine volcano on YouTube. And my television will switch to YouTube and it will pop up all the articles about the volcano, about Taal. And I look for on the bottom things that happened within probably the last 19 hours. There's not a whole lot on Taal recently. Nothing, something that's 6 weeks old or a week old or 7 days old and stuff like that, I don't look for that. I'm looking for the current stuff. I want the things that just came out. Here's where I'm going with this. The church today desperately needs a current testimony. There must be something new going on in the life of the church right now. Not just anything, however. We need the power of God working in our lives and through our lives. You see, we cannot be good enough. We cannot put on a good enough show to draw people to Jesus. No matter how great our worship team is, no matter how good you might think the messages are, we need Jesus himself to show up and to heal people who can't walk. We need Jesus himself to raise people who cannot breathe. We need Jesus to somehow make news in our lives. You see, if our testimony is nothing more than a report of something that happened some 2,000 years ago over in the Middle East, then most people are not going to be able to make a connection with that. And why that even matters to them today. Now, for some of you sitting there, a little over 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, Jesus Christ hung on a cross and died. If, however, something happens today because of a person who died and rose again in the year 29 AD, then people will begin to see what Jesus has to do with them here in 2020. Imagine, there is a man named Tom, and he lived in Lydda back in 30-something AD, you know, when Peter went and visited. And Tom comes to town, and he wants to buy some stuff at the marketplace. And he overhears a vendor saying to another person, "Hey, did you hear what happened to Aeneas?" And the buyer responds and says, "You mean the guy who can't walk? The one who has been in a bed for several years? What about him?" "Well," the vendor says, "yesterday he got up and he's been walking ever since." "Wait, how did that happen?" "Well, I guess one of those guys, the ones that were following Jesus, he came into town and told him that Jesus wanted to heal him, told him to get up." "Ah, come on, are you sure about that?" "Well, right there's Aeneas, coming up the street now. Why don't you go and ask him yourself?" So the guy goes off, and Tom follows him. The guy starts talking to Aeneas. Aeneas begins to tell him exactly what happened. Aeneas told him that he'd become a follower of Jesus and that his sins had been forgiven. He invited him to come to a meeting later on that night where he was going to be sharing about what happened in his life, and he was going to share a little bit more about Jesus. Now, Tom, he's all excited, and he quickly rushes home, and he kisses his wife, and he says, "Honey, we're going to town tonight." She says, "Oh, Tom, you know I don't like to go out with all the kids and my being blind." Tom said, "I just spoke with Aeneas, and he invited us to a meeting tonight. You see, Aeneas, he can walk now, and maybe he can tell us how you could see again." You see, this is the kind of thing that I think that God would love to bring to Portland, the stuff that he wants to bring to Portland. People are weary of hearing of all the bad news, the news in our nation, around our world, the news of abuse, of murder, of drugs, of other crimes. If you spend any time listening, even the news that's going on in politics back in Washington, it just gets old. It wears us down. We want to hear some good news. Well, the good news is that Jesus Christ can heal, and he can restore lives. And that is because it happened to somebody that they know, and you could share that. The good news about Jesus is the only thing that can produce lasting change in our lives and in our communities. Scripture says, immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So what does God, what does the Lord want to write about Portland? Maybe something like this. Immediately the cancer was gone. And all those who lived in the Portland area saw the man alive who had been on his deathbed. And they turned to the Lord. Could it happen? Yeah, it could. It should be happening. Let us ask the Lord to show his power in and through us so that all those who are suffering can be healed, so that those who are lost, so that they can be found. Our God is a need-meeting God. He always has been. He cares about how people are doing in their health. He cares how people are doing financially. He cares how people are doing emotionally and in the relationships with each other. God cares about the wants and the needs of people, and he would love to meet those needs. God wants to restore life to people. And finally, God wants to change entire cities with the message of his love. See, the most basic need that people have is a right relationship with God through Jesus, his son. Jesus died on a cross a long time ago so that people today could know God and enjoy him forever. Today, if you don't know God, if you've never had the relationship with him, hear me when I say this. You can begin that relationship today, right now. The Bible tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Saved from a life with no purpose. God has a plan for you, each and every one of you. That is why you are here. Would you join with him? Would you be willing to do what it is he's asking you to do today? Maybe you're here today and you find yourself in need. Whatever you need, whatever that need is, God can provide it. Would you trust him to meet your need? The Bible tells us to make our requests known to God through prayer, asking him to meet our needs. Prayer and asking God to meet our needs is the alternative to worrying. And worrying, it does not accomplish anything good in our lives. Maybe you just need to take a few moments and talk to him. Tell the Lord that you're trusting him. Trusting him with your needs, you're trusting him with your future, you're trusting him with your life. If you talk to him, you ask him, he will help you. Lord, help us to trust you enough to pray for the sick. Help us to trust you enough to bless those in need out of the resources that you have blessed us with. Help us to trust you enough to share your love with those around us, both in what we say and in what we do. Lord, save our city. Portland needs Jesus. The people of Portland need to know the love and the mercy of God. The people of Portland need to repent of their sins and to call on the Lord, and they will be saved. Help us. Help us to be all that you want us to be, because you are a need-meeting God.